Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. It's located in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and we're thrilled to have you back with us this morning. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, the counseling pastor and senior citizens pastor at Brookside. And with me in the studio are Pastor and Mrs. Ken and Kathy Keltner. And Ken, Kathy, we're thrilled to have you here today. We're going to be talking the next couple of times about parenting, specifically parenting teenagers, but of course that starts when they're one. And so we're going to be talking about some issues of what it means to bring up kids. And between the three of us, we have seven boys in our families. And so I think it's going to be a lot of fun just to talk about what the Lord has taught us, what He's teaching us. And of course, it also occurred to me that we have all been involved in youth ministry. I started out in my ministry as an assistant pastor, youth pastor, and you folks did the same thing, I think. And so consequently, God gave us teenagers before we actually had teenagers in our home. So we learned a lot in that area as well. But we're thrilled to have you with us today. And Ken and Kathy, just begin to share your heart as to what God is teaching you and has taught you.
Well, Pastor Greg, I think we could tell you a little bit about our boys. You know, we have one getting ready to turn 25. He's a youth pastor in Pennsylvania. We have one that is 22. Am I right on that? 22. And he is on the island of Palau ministering with a former youth pastor at Brookside, mm-hmm. John Zimmer.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have one that is 20 that is interning at Brookside this summer. And then he is majoring in youth or student ministries at Bible College. And then our youngest is getting ready to head off to Bible College. He wants to go into missions, cross-cultural ministries.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we've had opportunities to expose our guys to ministry. I was a youth pastor for 18 years. Kathy has homeschooled our boys for probably, it was around 15 or 16 years. And then they've also had some training in some Christian schools also. So I guess probably the first thing I need to say is that we by no stretch consider ourselves to be experts. We would not say it has just been all roses. Is that how I'd say it?
Yeah, definitely not a bed of roses.
Yeah,
in fact, there's oftentimes we wish we could just start over with all the wisdom that we've accumulated over the years. But it was a great start, I think, with Ken being a youth pastor for so many years. Our kids grew up around teenagers, around teen activities, and
sure.
loved being part of the church.
Right, right.
So all of those children's activities and teen activities helped probably form their years centered around God and the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it starts, you know, right when God gives us children, Pastor Greg, that we dedicate them to the Lord. You know, a lot of times we dedicate them to the Lord, but we have our own plans for them.
Mm.
You know, we don't want them to move too far away from where we live, and we want to be able to eventually see our grandkids, you know, whenever we want to. And
sure.
I think it gets back to, you know, if we give them to the Lord, they're the Lord's. And if He sees fit to take them into ministry, and I think Kathy and I would both say that has been our prayer. And,
right.
You know, obviously they can't be mom and daddy called to the ministry, but we're sure not going to discourage that if that's how it looks that God's directing them.
Because, you know, as we dedicate our babies to the Lord, technically that means we are giving back title deed to God. That really changes your mindset about your children then, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Right, 'cause He really owns them, doesn't He?
Mm-hmm. You know, and you look at Abraham, he had to surrender certain aspects of his life, and one was, you know, his own son Isaac, and be willing to give him back to the Lord. So we're excited what God's been doing in our lives, but as we stated earlier, we've made a lot of mistakes along the way.
Well, it's kind of like the guy that decided to write a book about parenting teenagers, and so he wrote this book, and then he started giving lots of lectures, and then he had kids.
Yeah, that's right.
And so then he decided to stop his lectures, and then his kids actually became teenagers, and he withdrew the book from circulation because there was no way in the world that his teens matched up with the book. None of us are experts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all learning lessons from each other. And the interesting thing is the fact that we can read books, we can talk to other people, But all of our kids are different. And so what may work for one may not work for one of ours.
Right. I would agree with that.
So would you say that God has given you maybe some general impressions that would be helpful to the folks that are listening to us this morning?
Well, I think the aspect of being involved in a local church is critical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We worked in a institution, a Bible college, for 5 years, and there were pluses with that, but we were involved in a local church. But, you know, the reason we came to Brookside was because we wanted our family to be involved in a church where they could see God at work.
Right.
I think that's critical in getting my young people or my teens or my children in a ministry where they see God is at work and one that gives kids the opportunity to minister and to serve.
Mm-hmm.
I think what happens is a lot of our young people do not see the reality of God in real life. I mean, when you're praying and you're asking God to do something special and then you see God do it, that has a huge effect on their life, that God is real.
Exactly.
And the enemy we face would love for our kids to have some form of religious activity, but they're not really connected and seeing the reality of God being who he says he is and that he's real and he answers prayer. I think a passion for souls is critical. I don't know how many times we'd have people over at our homes and was for the express purpose of giving the gospel, and we'd let our boys know this and, hey, help us out as you play with the kids. And,
right, right.
And let's pray and see what God does.
And they become a part of the ministry then, don't they? It's not dad and mom's ministry, and I'm just kind of tagging along.
Mm-hmm.
They actually become a part of it, and they begin to realize, you know, God can use me.
Mm-hmm.
And what a thrill it was just recently for us to have 46 teenagers in our church line up at the end of the service on a Sunday night and a special prayer time for them as they prepared to go out for a week's missions trip. And boy, what a thrill that was.
I think for us specifically, missions played a big part in the lives of our kids. They went on several missions trips. They were able to preach. They were able to give the gospel. They, I think, developed a passion for people. They got to see a real world view of needs of people and specifically needs of people that need a savior. And I think also, you know, in our missions conferences, we had missionaries staying with us. And
that's big. That's important.
And I look at it, and I'm thankful that we've been in churches that have said, hey, bring your kids along.
Amen.
You know, I mean, there are some that, hey, you're the youth pastor. You got to minister to all the kids in the youth group, and we really would prefer your kids not be there, you know. I've never wanted to be a part of anything like that because that's, I think, one way you get teenagers, especially if you're in ministry, to want to go a different direction because they were excluded.
Right.
In those early years, it could have been very, very, you know, impactful to them.
Right.
And one of the things Ken has been really good at is taking the boys along, whatever he had to do, whether it was making visits, whether it was going to a teenager's ball game, was coaching their sports teams, things like that. And even if he went out on a speaking engagement. Especially the years that we homeschooled, that allowed for us to send one of them along so they had special dad time with
right,
him.
Right.
And again, the role model of a dad is so hugely important in the lives of boys and girls, but these boys need a great role model.
Right.
And so that has been able to fulfill a lot of that just by going on trips with him.
And we had a lot of fun. You know, I would usually take one to camp with me. I remember when it was Kevin, he's our second, it was his turn to go to camp. He was probably
three or four, I think.
And,
very young.
Yeah.
And he was so excited to go to camp with the teens. And the oldest, though, had been to camp numerous times with me, and now it was not his turn. And I felt bad for him. He was out on the front lawn by a tree kind of crying because he wasn't going to be able to go. And Kevin walks out with a little backpack on going, I'm going to camp. So, and then he sat on my lap, and whenever the speaker would ask a question, he was always wanting to answer the questions, and I was always trying to say, well, let's let the teens answer this. I mean, we don't want to take over camp here for them, but those were huge, huge times for us.
because they saw that dad wasn't leaving them at home, ignoring them while he takes care of somebody else's kids, but he's involving his kids. And what a blessing, you know, that is.
I think that is a downfall oftentimes of pastors. And, of course, it's not appropriate for a child to be able to go along all the times for their visits, depending on what, if it's a counseling situation. But for those nights that it is possible for dad to take them along instead of dad just being gone all the time and saying, oh, well, dad's in ministry and dad's doing this for God, and they don't see a part of it, you know, to stay home and just pray is not quite enough for a child to be able to see really God at work. So it's exciting for them to be able to go along with dad. And it, again, just trains them in ways that we don't even know.
Right. In fact, my middle son, Jonathan, was out on visitation with me one Saturday morning. And we got back and pulled in front of our house, and he looked at me and said, you know, Dad, that man we led to the Lord this morning? And I said, yeah. He said, I haven't done that. I said, oh, wow. Would you like to? He said, yeah. He said, you know, that man was excited. He got saved, and he asked the Lord to forgive his sins. He said, I want to do that. So right there in the car in front of our house, had the privilege of leading him to Christ, and just because he was a part of what we were doing, and he got excited about what God was doing. And he's a youth pastor today, and I think the Lord just gave him a burden as he became a part of my ministry.
You know, Pastor Greg Woodrow Kroll has a book out entitled The Vanishing Ministry, and he wrote it several years ago. And that book caught my attention that his premise was we are losing young people for ministry. And that really had a profound impact on my life because as I've ministered to teens, I was a youth pastor for 18 years, I don't see a lot of teens really that have a bent for ministry full time. I personally think that moms and dads have played a key role in that. I think whether it's moms and dads or kids, we tend to think if we're going to get serious with God, we're going to get gypped in life. You know,
right.
My kids are going to be over in Abu Dhabi someplace, and nobody's going to know why they're there or what they're doing. And I've seen that over and over and over, you know, when parents are talking about, yeah, I know my kid is sensitive to the Lord, but, you know, maybe they're too sensitive. I think that's dangerous. I used to always say to parents, and I would also say, you know, for Kathy and I, we want to see a sensitivity to the Lord there with our kids. I think that's the highest compliment a parent could even give their son or daughter, is their sensitivity to the Lord, and to encourage that, not discourage it.
And we definitely want to pick up on that very thought of being godly and sensitive to the Lord, not just good, but our time has run out for this time. And so thank you for sharing your thoughts. We will pick up again for our next session. Until then, we trust that if there's anything in your life and family that we can be praying with you about, that you'll contact us at Brookside Baptist Church and help us to be a blessing to you. Until next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.